Before we get into Wednesday night's Big Brother 22 recap, I want to tell you about another great reality franchise, which is coming back to ABC on Friday, October 16th, 8, 7 Central. It's Shark Tank in unprecedented times like these. It's great to know that the American dream lives on. That's right. Shark Tank is back in business, and it's more inspirational and crazy than ever. When you see what they did to get this show back on the air, it'll blow your mind, as will the wild inventions the most driven entrepreneurs from around the country will bring into the tank. There's no better time for an uplifting show like this, and with some amazing new guest sharks, including the creator of Tom's Shoes, Blake Mycoskie, and jewelry designer and CEO Kendra Scott. One thing's for certain, in the tank, the streets are still paved with gold, from self-cleaning water bottles to pizza cupcakes. Tell Josh Wiggler about this. When the sharks see a great idea, the feeding frenzy is on. The Emmy-winning Shark Tank returns Friday, October 16th at 8, 7 Central, only on ABC. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who thanks you for being here in lieu of any place else you could be otherwise. Tonight, I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast here on a Wednesday night to talk about the veto competition and to not talk about the triple eviction for the first time in a week. Very excited to have you back here with us to join us for this episode. We've got a great panel to talk it all through as we head into Tyler versus Christmas. Somebody's going home for the final six tomorrow night. We're 24 hours away. Back with us to talk about everything that is going on. Here he is, Brent Walgamont. Brent, how are you?
I am doing great. It is Christmas and Tyler on the block on eviction night. And I've never seen either one of these people evicted. Yeah. Before. I guess I saw Christmas at the tail end of Big Brother 19, but it's going to be fun on Thursday night.
How does it feel, Brent? I feel like you're not really savoring this, that either Tyler or Christmas is going home.
Yeah, well, I had the round table last night to really, you know, sink my teeth into it. And
I feel like then you were a little bit like, but it's boring.
The thing is, by the time it gets to this point where they're on the bottom and they're the target, then we begin to sympathize with them and empathize with them and root for them a little bit. So, you know, you always want what you can't have. That's me.
You put in the order for this meal hours and hours and
it's
hours
very
ago.
Stale. Yes. Yes.
And then by the time it got here, now it's cold and you don't even want it. Send it back.
Yeah. Thank you. Exactly. I need a new order. Cody on the block today.
All right. We're excited to have Brent here back with us. And then joining us here tonight, excited to have back Bobby Goodsby. Bobby, how are you?
Hey, Rob. So, you know, I saw everyone else wearing their jerseys on these podcasts, so I figured I had to rep my team in lieu.
Yes. That's the thing. Yes. I think it started that night that Chappelle and was wearing his Ravens jersey, and then Mari was wearing it, and Jason. So it's the only purple jerseys, I think, we see on the podcast.
You had to start with the top teams and then work your way down to my Vikings. You know, we had to go from the top down to the bottom. That's how this works.
Okay. All right.
Maybe bring us good luck.
All right. Happy to have you back with us. And then also returning tonight, a woman who has met Joe Exotic, Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you?
I'm so good. Not as good as Joe Exotic, but I'm good.
Joe Exotic's not doing great.
I know, but he's still the king. I'm from Oklahoma. I've met him so many times. He literally is the king, yes. And I'm just thankful to be here on the day before Loyal's birthday. Happy yes. to be here.
Is Loyal's birthday is tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. All right. That if they send her out, it could be like a rock star moment on Thursday night. Anyway, happy to have you back here with us to be watching the show tonight. If you have questions and you're here live, you can respond to my tweet on Twitter. We'll get them into the show later on as we hear what you guys have to say about everything that's going on. All right. So We're working off of Cody's nominations. It was Christmas and it was Tyler, and we saw some reactions at the start of the episode. I talked about this on Monday night when I was with Kirsten and AJ. I was talking about how this new Nicole Franzel of the Nicole with a blood feud against Tyler and Christmas, this jaded Nicole Franzel, I'm really enjoying this. Brent, what did you make of Nicole complaining about Tyler and Christmas, how much she hates them?
I love it. I felt like she was channeling me at times. And I have to say that this is the Nicole that we really love, because we've seen Nicole before when she's been complaining and angry and ranting about people. But those were always people that didn't deserve it, in like Janelle or Kacer, or people that, you know, the fans knew and loved. This time around, it's Christmas and Tyler. A lot of people who, some would say, don't have the best relationship with the fans. And I was living for Nicole, giving it to them. And also, Nicole, if you haven't noticed on Twitter the last few days, I've retweeted a few things. She's definitely been owning her stuff, as we say, and trying to lean into herself a little bit and saying, you know what? I think she has like a new lease on life, because she survived the block twice. And they tried to get her out. They couldn't do it. Yeah. Now she's like, I'm here.
Sasha, I really, I do enjoy this Nicole, this vicious Nicole, as opposed to victim Nicole of crying. This is what this person did to me. Like, I like this feistiness from Nicole.
I think I need her to do more. I think compared to what she was doing, yes, I love it. I agree with Brent. Like, finally, she's showing up, because that's what we wanted. I don't care if you're like doing snake things. That's a good thing in Big Brother, but I wanted to do a little bit more in the veto competition. She shaded Janelle a little. I was like, yeah, I like that. That's what I want. Give me more of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me give a warning to the chat tonight. Brent, I saw what you said about people posting politics. There is no politics in the chat, because I'm DVRing the debate and you're going to spoil it for me. That counts as a spoiler. All right. Don't spoil me. I'm going to watch this after we get done with the podcast tonight. All right. Bobby, what's been your take on this new version of Nicole?
You know, it's great to see Nicole act like this. It's exciting to see her actually, you know, be passionate and about something that we can all relate to. Like, we can understand where she's coming from, where her frustration lies. And although we have our problems with her, and although production is really giving her the win, we really just love to see this passion come out of her, and to see her actually push, you know, what she wants and shows how passionate she is. That's the kind of Nicole that we like to see on our TV screens.
Yeah. Okay. As I said the other night, at least she wants it.
Yeah.
Some people.
Yep.
Like, they're like bored to play the game. At least she really wants it very badly and cares what people think. All right. Let's talk a little bit about, then we see Christmas have a meeting with Cody, and she's going to make her case. And Sasha, I'm enjoying this Cody Christmas dynamic. We saw the other day that Christmas was like, oh my God, Cody, What a dumb mimbo he is. He's so stupid. He says like all the time. It's like pulling teeth talking to him. Just a pretty face. Let me manipulate him with my tears.
Here's the thing, right? That's Nicole's line. Not sure how it got sent to Christmas, but here we are. I think production maybe messed up their notes, but Nicole is, oh my God, look. Christmas is so funny, because she literally is the hero. You know, everyone is the hero of their own story, but like delusions of grandeur, where she's like, I'm going to squish my face, and then and liquid's going to come out, and he's going to fall for it. Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah. That's what's, this is such a weird line.
It's like, I just squish my face, and liquid comes out.
Ew.
Like, ew, girl, why? Right.
Yeah.
Your face is broken.
Pus.
Yeah. Oh,
that's terrible. That's what is that? And I really like that they included the diary room session of Cody. You know, like, I don't care what's coming out of her face. Like, it doesn't matter. A hill of beans. Like, it doesn't change my plans at all. Like, it's still going to be, if I have my say, Tyler and Christmas on the block come eviction night. And sure enough, at the end, it was.
Yeah.
Cody's me, I feel like.
He's you?
Like, Cody's this. Like, sure. Yeah, that's nice. And that's exactly how I felt. I was like, what are you doing? Like, this is, you know, like she... And then in the veto competition, called herself a comp beast.
Yes.
Like, girl,
yes.
I have
that, too. Here is Christmas talking about how, in addition to being such a mental threat, she's also such a physical threat, too.
I'm a comp beast, and I feel frustrated that I was ready for some redemption.
Yeah. Sasha, this is a really great point you're making about Christmas, about how, in her mind, she's the greatest player that's ever played.
Yeah. And the greatest host, don't forget, because she is going to take Julie's job when she retires.
Right.
Rob, I need you to clip. This is not political, I promise. But like where the first lady said F Christmas, like that's what I need you to play. Like all the time, just on repeat, because that's it. That's my life to Christmas.
Yes. You don't think she was talking about the holiday. You think that maybe she was talking about the Big Brother contestant.
100% obvious.
We all know Melania is the number one Big Brother stan out there. Like she earned all the stan accounts.
Yeah, that's what they how they should spin that. They say, excuse me, the first lady is talking about a woman named Christmas Abbott who's on Big Brother. So get your facts straight. Right?
Oh my God. Bless her heart,
yes.
As they say.
Okay. Bobby, we had some serious talk tonight about, you know, we've heard about Tyler's dad. I was surprised that we ended up really having the focus of the segment be Memphis talking about his dad. Is this like we have to like cover our bases just in case Memphis is going to win this season of I guess we got to shine up Memphis's edit here a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was the emotional episode for Memphis. It was also, you know, emotional episode for Tyler just in case maybe he's able to stay and doesn't go home this week. They have that emotional tie for the audience for both sides of the story. Now, also, it could be an emotional plea for Tyler where this might be the last week we see him. So it's like that last little emotion that we give why the fans love this guy. And I, you know, watching it, I do feel for both these guys. I've been fortunate enough to have my father around still. I'm very lucky. I'm about to be a father at the end of the month for the first time. So
congratulations to you, Bobby.
Thank you. Thank you. But we're very excited to have our little girl come in November 6th. So, but to see that and to see as an expecting father and as a son who still has his father, I can only put myself in their shoes and imagine what they're going through, especially with Tyler, whose dad was the fan. Now he's lived out the ultimate fan dream, besides winning, of being in the house. And that's something that he can always share. That was a special moment and special bond he had with his dad.
Yeah. But it didn't move the needle, though, much for Memphis in terms of that he never wavered from it. Yeah, but Tyler's the target, though.
Yeah, exactly. Tyler's the target. I do take your point, though. I do feel like that was their effort because Memphis is not a touchy-feely kind of guy.
No.
Like, all season long, he's been pretty grumpy. There's a reason they call him Gramps. And he's had problems with his back. He's been hurting various times. So this was the one time where you could maybe squeeze out a little bit of sympathy or empathy from the audience. And
like Christmas's
it was interesting
face.
To hear. Yeah, exactly. Just liquid coming out there from Memphis. Oh, my gosh. What is happening?
That's what I was like. So we go from there, from Memphis talking with Tyler, to Memphis is going to talk to Christmas. And Sasha, Christmas is worried. She feels like she doesn't have any allies left. She's worried about this. And she it's funny because they keep cutting away to Tyler in this conversation Tyler shaving his chest, which I mean, of all the things that they could have gone to that this is, I know that maybe this is maybe a metaphor. This is going to be a close shave for Tyler if he comes away from it. I know. I mean,
Rob.
Yeah.
Look, my God.
We know that if you've been following the nipple judging contest, that Tyler was the winner, that maybe this is a performance enhancing. Look, you don't just win the house nipple competition by not shaving your chest. Yes.
Yeah, they're giving us those clothes.
We have to ask Puya. Yes. Yeah. But no, Christmas was very worried about that. Memphis, you're going to go up on the block. Tyler can't win the veto.
So, Sasha, Go ahead.
This is where I thought it was really interesting, where on one hand, right, she's like, I'm going to win. I need redemption. And then on the other hand, she's like, Tyler's going to win it all. Right. I mean, from what we're hearing versus what she's saying. And it's really interesting because I agree with Christmas that, right, if I were to pick, I don't think I would pick Christmas to win the veto. I would pick a white man to win. And Tyler, like, we can get to it later. But yeah, I was so surprised he timed out, because I think out of all the people, him and Memphis, I think I like were the better ones with like the memory and things like that. So I was also surprised that Tyler lost, but also that Christmas was giving him a lot of credit.
I loved Memphis's reaction, Brent. He's like, I'm not going on the block.
Yeah. Which,
what are you, crazy?
Yeah, I love, this was the best, to me, this was the best DR that we got all night, was Memphis in the diary room being so sure of himself that, you know, if the veto is used, that he's not going to go up on the block as a replacement nominee. Spoiler, he would have been the replacement nominee if one was needed. And I'm really bummed that we didn't get to see that and Memphis, and then if one of them had won the veto, or somebody used the veto and used it on them, I don't know who that would have been. They would have had to win the veto. Like, my God, that would have been so epic to see Memphis have to take a seat on the block and realize, you know what? You're actually number four in this little pecking order that Cody has going on, but he thinks he's number three, maybe even number two. Mm-hmm. And so that's why he wasn't sweating when he should have been, and that may affect things moving forward.
Okay.
Would Christmas have taken herself off? Like, you know, she's such a like play your position person. Like, could he have manipulated her into not using it? Like, you're
No. She would have taken herself off the block, and Memphis would have gone up in her place. Yeah. And I think they still would have voted off Tyler.
Sasha, you don't be a comp beast to not take yourself off the block.
Right. I went to BB19 real quick. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People keep thinking about that time where she volunteered to be a pawn, earlier this season. But remember, when they tried to cash in the chits on being that pawn, she immediately tried to walk that back. She was like, I don't know if that's such a good idea. And then, of course, he went and did it anyway. So,
That's true.
She's not going to sit up on the block willingly.
Yeah. All right. Tyler is going to have a talk with Enzo. Let's listen back to here is Tyler having a conversation with Enzo to tell him about the six-person alliance known as the committee. Tyler talks to Enzo.
Oh, no.
Tyler, what did you do?
That's a really apt car crash sound there, because honestly, you guys, for those of you who don't follow the live feeds, at this point in time, Christmas is going out of the house. Tyler is staying at this point before he reveals the committee to Enzo, and then Enzo goes and reveals that information to Cody. Christmas is going to be evicted if the nominees stay in place and the veto is not used, right? But then Tyler goes and exposes the committee to Enzo. And not only that, he tries to get Enzo to believe, crazy, that Cody wanted to target Enzo, which of course Enzo knows is complete BS. And of course, like, this all goes back to like week three of Big Brother, where Tyler and Cody were fighting over Enzo's loyalty and trying to pull him to their side. And Tyler wanted to tell Enzo about the committee, and Cody was like, no, I don't think we should tell him about the committee. And Tyler eventually relented, but then Cody went behind his back and told Enzo about the committee like 5 weeks ago. So Tyler thinks he's bringing news to Enzo, but in actuality, Enzo has known this information all along. So then that information goes to Cody. Cody doesn't like it. He also hears that Tyler's trying to lie and say that Cody is trying to target Enzo. And like, that's when everything flips, and at every point in time up until the veto ceremony, which I won't go any further than that, anytime that they have thought about flipping things and maybe thinking about voting off Christmas, it comes back to this decision by Tyler to expose the committee. Cody doesn't trust Tyler anymore, and that is the reason why he's currently in danger.
I got to give all the credit to Cody on this one, because this is one of the first times we've ever seen Tyler get outplayed. And it really comes to exactly what you just said, Brent, where he told him we should use this opportunity to tell Enzo. Cody said no. Cody relented and went and told him anyways later without Tyler knowing. And now this all comes tenfold to Tyler telling Enzo and Enzo relaying that information back to Cody. So this is where Cody really outplayed Tyler and basically caused Tyler to go out the door, possibly.
Sure, but I also think that it was Enzo for the second time in like 48 hours that it really did in Tyler's game. True. I mean, Enzo right. burned him so bad in the triple eviction, and
why
then ultimately, Enzo is going
to
be potentially the nail in Tyler's coffin.
And it's so frustrating, too, because like you just said, he burned him so hard during the double eviction and Enzo can spin it any way he wants. But Tyler knows. He said Christmas voted off Nicole. I voted off Nicole. You have to vote off Nicole. He didn't do it. He knew what he was doing by hanging them out to dry. Then Tyler crazily decides to go to Enzo before the veto is even played. We don't even know who has the veto at this point. He goes to Enzo and tries to sway him to his side to try to get him to use the veto that he does not currently have and will not have because he ends up timing out of the competition. In fact, they both end up timing out of the competition. But I never understood the timing on this one to go to Enzo before the veto's even been played. It just was such an overstep from Tyler, and he's been firing some blanks all season long.
Whoa. Okay. Brent, I thought Enzo had a great confessional, though, where after Tyler reveals everything about the committee, he's in the diary room. He's like, wait, what? There's an alliance? Like, I already knew about all this.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It was like shades of Dr. Will and Boogie a little bit to me, where like he's really having fun in the diary room and definitely toying with the audience a little bit. Like, what? No way. Ah! And just like, you know, giving us the big laugh about it. And I you know what? I also love this kind of Enzo. I know we talked about Nicole, but I love this kind of Enzo because like we talked about this on the round table. Half the time we don't know when Enzo does things that are perceived as good strategically for his game, we don't know if he's doing it on purpose. I love when I hear things in the diary room where Enzo is like, I knew what I was doing. I was like, this is, I was setting him up. I knew it was, you're on the block because of me, boy. That's the reason why you're on the block. And I love seeing that from Enzo. I wish he had that fire all game long.
Sasha, I know it's been talked about on a lot of the podcasts about Enzo and the strength of his case to the jury. Do you think that he is able to sort of recognize and potentially highlight some of these things that basically he single-handedly sunk Tyler's game?
I think he's able to recognize it, but I'm not sure if he's going to be able to articulate it well. And it also depends who he's sitting with. So I think it's two of those things where I think he's able to do it, but I don't know. Will he be able to do it without pissing off, let's say, Tyler and Christmas, who are in the jury voting for him? Like, I think he has to delicately say, I realized I wasn't in the committee. Sorry, Cody actually already told me. Cody already told me. So I realized I needed to do something to get there. You know, if he says it in that way, I think, yes, for sure, he gets their vote.
I think that he could too, Bobby. I think that the way that Enzo, if he gets to the final two, needs to spin it is in like, look, I didn't have a big six-person alliance. I had to get things done myself. I had to keep myself safe. And that's what I did. And I will say this, though. If he goes to the end against Cody, he can talk all about the, you know, I flipped the vote and you saved Nicole and made Tyler and Christmas look bad. And that was the reason Tyler ended up on the block. But all of Enzo's moves are really subtle. The thing that he's going to be going up against in Cody is probably like Cody currently has 6 competition wins. If he gets to the final two, you got to think he's probably has 7 or 8 at that point. Like, I think all of that gets blown out of the water by 8 competition wins. Like, nobody's going to care about some subtle move that Enzo did in the triple eviction if Cody has 8 comp wins.
100%. It really comes down to if he's sitting next to Cody, there's really no shot. If he sits next to anyone else, what Sasha said is exactly what he needs to say. He needs to use the fact that he wasn't a part of this big alliance and still made it further than all of them. And the fact that, you know, he had to pull these moves against Tyler, against Christmas, and really use manipulation to make them think that he was going with them. Well, really, he was with Cody the whole time, and then he's able to possibly cut Cody at the end. That's his only out. If he doesn't do that, I don't see a shot for him.
Yeah, I will also say I see Bill Hall in the chat saying that Enzo is basically the seventh member of the committee if he wants to try that argument. I feel like this is sort of like when people say like the Solicitor General is like the 10th justice of the Supreme Court. Like the only people that buy
that old cliche.
Else. I know, right? Well, like, it's something that I know in my life. Like the Supreme Court justices, they laugh at stuff like that. Same with this alliance. Like no one in the alliance, who are all going to be on the jury voting, by the way, except for like one or two of them, they're not going to buy him being, oh, he was the seventh member of the committee. Yeah. He was just some guy that some of them had good social relationships with that, you know, ended up in a good position by virtue of his social game, not because he was like some honorary seventh member of anything.
Yeah. I think if anything, he scores more points with the jury saying like, hey, yeah, I wasn't part of this, the big alliance, yeah, yo.
I agree.
You know, I was an outsider. I had to work my way in, as opposed to like, well, I was kind of in the alliance, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really was the nucleus in a lot of moments, especially I think this week, where they've really been coming to him with info and he's selectively sharing it back out to the other people to, you know, sow all this drama. But I really think that that's what he needs to keep going, that I didn't need to be part of that alliance. Like, screw that alliance. It imploded, you know, any idea and any time that something happened, like a triple eviction, it immediately was done, right? Just like that. But I had good relationships that it didn't matter.
Okay. Let's talk about the power of veto competition, because it was the snapshot shuffle. Brett, do you have a lot to say about the power of veto?
I do. I got a couple things to say. So, number one, very cool competition. I did not understand it at first, and I think that was kind of the point.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, the more of a fan of Big Brother you are...
Or baseball.
But yeah, right? I feel like the worst you maybe were going to do in this competition, although Nicole's a big fan of Big Brother, and she got it instantly. So, or not instantly, but she, you know, she made 7 minutes. And Cody's definitely a fan. He got 4. Like, I just felt like Tyler kept looking at it from a... like a normal comp standpoint, like what are they looking for here? And this wasn't any kind of a competition that you've ever seen before on Big Brother, where you're looking for clues in paintings and pictures and you're trying to figure them out. And they're like dumb things like, you know, is the beer glass half full or is it all the way full or is this swig taken out of it? Like that's never something that they've done on Big Brother before. And I loved it that it really... You know, it really tore into people's critical thinking skills about, you know, what are you able to absorb from this, you know, array of photos? And Tyler wasn't able to absorb it. He just wasn't. And I also want to call out the fact, not only did he time out, but of the people who competed, he is the only one that they did not show a finish for. Like, they showed Enzo like totally screwing up and ending up at 25 minutes. They showed everybody else hitting the button and getting the cheer. We didn't see anything from Tyler. And I think, as he said on the feeds, like he eventually got so frustrated after 10 minutes that he just asked them to time him out. But I'm kind of bummed that they didn't show it. I think they're trying to protect their golden boy. I really do. I think they're trying to protect Tyler. I think he probably threw a fit. He didn't know what to do. He was frustrated. He knows he has to win this veto. Shades of Tim from Big Brother Canada 4, where he just gives up and says, screw it, I'm done. But they didn't show it on the show, and I'm very frustrated by that. I feel like they're trying to actively, like, edit-wise, save him from the wrath of the fans here.
Yeah, they really did everything in their power to make it seem like Tyler has a chance. And for TV, I totally understand. They want it to seem like Tyler, their golden boy, has a chance. He's on the block.
Yeah, I suppose, but for Enzo, they didn't, they didn't show that Enzo had it. And we knew Enzo was screwed from the moment like he pressed the button the 10th time.
Yeah,
it's the build-up moment. They want you to feel like he still has a chance all the way to the last second. Now, my biggest gripe with this competition was the fact that you have a couple people getting 25 minutes and timing out, and someone getting 4 minutes. There's some kind of description there. I don't know what it is that can make this competition a little bit closer, but I didn't like that there was some people timing out and one person, you know, getting 4 to 7 minutes. That was my biggest gripe with it.
Well, what don't you like about it? If some people are dum-dums and can't figure out what the competition is, too bad.
Don't get me wrong. I totally
I think I would have won this one.
You would have killed this
I
one?
Think so.
Ooh, yes.
I think I would not have. I was still like trying to feel like when Nicole was looking at them and she was going through it, like, okay, this, I'm like, what in the world?
Well, because let me just tell you that as a baseball fan also, that there was a little bit of a tell in that there was an inning on the scoreboard that you could see that at some point it was the bottom of the fifth inning, it was the bottom of the fourth inning, and you could see on the scoreboard also, I think that would have been a big landmark in terms of what inning it was and what the score was in the game.
I think also if you put two pitchers by each other, you would have been like, oh, it's not in order like of elimination. That's out. What is it? Let me quickly pivot. So I agree. Because at first I was like, oh, it's a memory comp, which is nice. It's still an equalizer. And then immediately I was like, wait, look at how they're in the picture. It's obviously not in line.
And I guarantee you.
Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, I guarantee also that Cody Calafiore is a Yankee fan also. I've known them my whole life, that he screams Yankee fan.
Yeah, I see that. Like I said, I'm a fan of Big Brother, and so I was coming at it from a standpoint of, okay, like, obviously, if it's three people in a photo, it's, like, the first two initial nominees and the HOH. If it's four people in a nominee, there was a replacement nominee. Like, that's where my brain was. I was not even in the realm of possibility in terms of, like, the popcorn and the beer and the hot dog and the ice cream cone and all that.
But I liked it for that reason because I think if it were, you know, a David, right, around me.
David, right. No, that's a Met. No.
I think if David, the rookie, would have been here, you know, it would have been a little bit more equalizer for someone like him in that moment than I think, right, a Cody or even though Cody probably would have still won, but whatever.
Cody wins everything.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay.
I want to ask Bobby and Sasha, does he win out from here?
Who? Like, I'm sorry, Cody?
Cody. I'm talking about Cody. I think he does. Out?
Yeah.
Well, he can't play in the HOH next
week. So he's going to have to win veto.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is he wins veto at final five. He wins either HOH or veto at final four, and then he wins the final three HOH.
I'll take the field.
Yeah, I think he probably.
I would love Cody because I have him in my draft, so I'm happy.
You think he'll win every single competition he's in the rest of the way?
That's the way this season's been going.
Statistically, you got to think that somebody else will beat him in a competition. He's basically going to go Kevin Martin on us.
I mean, if they do beat him and he is vulnerable on an eviction night and they do not take him out, they all deserve to lose.
Yeah, basically what he did on Big Brother 16. He really won out towards the end.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But I will say the reset saved him, number one, during five courses. You know, obviously they weren't going to evict him there. But number two, his time, the fact that he did 4 minutes and everyone else did, like, you know, seven and whatever Christmas had, like, 11 and 12, then it was 25, 25. Yeah. Like, I mean, that should tell them you are playing for second if you keep this guy in the house. What are you all doing?
I think that if you were a baseball fan, I do think that you had a bit of an advantage in this challenge. So I don't think that necessarily that this was, okay, Cody is like so far head and shoulders above everybody else.
He was last week, he was HOH and veto holder. This week he's HOH and veto holder. It's not like, I mean, yeah, there was baseball like element to this one, but what about all the other times?
Was he a yogi too?
Yeah. Yes, because he's a stripper that he was able to take his clothes off perfectly. I just feel like that. Maybe he's very good at the competitions, but I think that there could be something that he doesn't necessarily dominate at.
But Enzo said it right to Christmas right after, like, yo, man, he's so good, man.
Yeah, but I feel like he's just like, smoke up her butt, though, right? Because he's not going to go against Cody ever. Like,
but at least Christmas should understand it. Like, hello.
She does. Yeah. Christmas definitely gets it. If Christmas stays in the house, she's going to nominate Cody.
A couple other moments from the challenge. Enzo was talking about one of the parts of the game. He sees everybody in the parking lot, and he thinks
that's pregame. That's pregame.
How could that be? Were Dan and Derek in the picture? And then Enzo finally started to think back to his behavior during the triple eviction the other night.
I know I suck, yo. I know. I'm with you on this.
Finally, Enzo. Glad you came around.
Yes.
Okay. Brent, what do you think of this Janelle shade from Nicole Franzel?
Janelle has the mustard and ketchup stain on her shirt, and she looks mad. I've seen that face quite often. I have experienced it, and it's been towards me.
Yeah, you could see there's a little bit of an edit there. There's a little bit of Frankenbite where, like, she said she's mad, and then they chopped it up. She definitely said something else about Janie after that.
And then she said she wasn't coming to my wedding, and then...
Yeah, exactly, So, but I was fine with Sasha. Like, you know what? We know you hate Janelle. At least just own it at this point. That's fine.
The brand is watching.
Yeah,
the brand is watching. Can we get a little sloppy also? Because I would love to do a little bit of a deep dive. If you guys don't want to do this, then we don't have to. Could we do a little bit of a deep dive into... We had to put the story in order, but can we try to figure out what the story was that happened at the baseball game?
It was just a baseball game, and then they pre-gamed before it was a beer and popcorn.
But I have some questions about all of this, okay?
This is us playing the competition now.
Yeah, okay. I'm ready.
Davon had a box of popcorn that ends up on her head. What's going on there, Sasha? How'd that happen?
So it looks like it got knocked out. So this is also what I was wondering. Like, it was knocked out, so did it, I guess it fell up or... Yeah, fell up on her head, right? Because there was the middle part where...
It landed on her head?
Yeah, landed.
That's a one in a million shot.
That's Big Brother. Expect the unexpected. What do you mean? Come on. Okay. It literally went... Woo,
yeah.
Bam.
Because you would never wear that on your head. Your head will smell like popcorn the rest of your life.
It's camp. You know, Met Gala vibes. We love it.
And then Bobby, Ian Terry had a foam finger... That got broken. How is that possible?
How?
Hey,
the point of a foam finger is that you can't break it.
When you go to a baseball game, you've never broken a foam finger. Like, especially when your team's doing bad, you're just like, screw this and break it. Like,
you could rip it off, I guess.
Possibility.
Okay.
No, that was where they lost me. Yeah, it was just a backdrop to me in that entire competition.
Okay. Brent. There was a streaker at the baseball game. Who was this streaker? Who is this random person?
Does anybody know? I wasn't paying attention.
Was it Cody?
I don't think so. They would have said it was Cody.
I think it
was some poor PA. Just like that's what he had to do. That was his way of staying on the show for next season.
Yeah. And then finally, they're taking all these pictures with this alligator. Sasha, who is the alligator?
I have no idea.
He's not a baseball mascot.
So a few years ago, I worked at SF State, and their mascot is the gator. So it was really interesting to see that, because I was like, wait, no, this is Big Brother. Right. Sorry. But that's what I kept thinking of. Was it a mascot for someone? Because it's, and maybe that's the baseball team, the Gators. I don't know.
I don't know.
Miami, but
yeah.
Like, why not a duck or something? Like, a duck is synonymous with Big Brother for the summertime.
Or the Zingbot or something. I don't know.
Zingbot. Something else.
Mr. Met. Somebody from a baseball team.
Rob,
they can afford that.
Did you see in the chat, Russ said, it was actually Pauly Calafiore.
It was Pauly Calafiore. Hashtag Calafiore jeans.
Yes, and he was promoting his only baseball fans. That's what he was doing there.
Yes, indeed.
My brother Cody.
Such a wrong take. So.
Yeah. We'll get right back to Wednesday night's Big Brother recap. But first, let me take a moment and thank our friends over at Ritual. Ritual Multivitamin. Ritual is leaving out the mystery additives, the synthetic fillers, and the shady extras that can be found in some traditional multivitamins. They are on a mission to rethink the multivitamin. They're committed to showing you the nutrients, where it came from, and why it's in there. They've got a great multivitamin for men and a great multivitamin for women. I've been taking the Essential for Men multivitamin, the multivitamin that's designed for men 18 to 49. I'm still in that age range, which is designed to help fill nutrient gaps in your diet. It's got a lot of things in there that you can go and check out on their website. And not just check out all of the great things that are in the Ritual multivitamin, you can also check out where they're getting them from. Not only is Ritual traceable, it's also transparent for those obsessive label readers out there. Ritual uses vegan certified, non-GMO, gluten-free, allergen-free ingredients, and their sources are out there for the whole world to see because they believe that you need to know what you're putting in your body. Ritual is designed to be gentle on an empty stomach. Don't you hate that? You take a vitamin and then you feel like you're going to be ill, which the idea of taking a vitamin is so you're feeling good and you take a vitamin and you don't feel so great. Not with Ritual. The delayed release, no nausea design capsule is designed to be gentle on an empty stomach. And it's got a mint essence tab in every bottle that makes taking your vitamins a minty fresh experience. They use high quality ingredients like vegan algal oil instead of fish oil. You should get a cookbook about how to use that stuff, which comes from the fermentation of microalgae, a patented process that leaves minimal environmental contamination. It's very important that we're taking care of our health right now. I feel great knowing that I can see everything that's in my Ritual multivitamin when I'm taking it as part of my daily routine. Make it part of your ritual. Daily changes can lead to big results. So start small today. Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off their first 3 months. So try it out. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to ritual.com/RHAP to start your ritual today. That's 10% off your first 3 months at ritual.com/RHAP. Now let's get back to talking about the power of veto from Big Brother. All right, so that was baseball. Christmas had 12 minutes. Cody, 4:57. Nicole, 7:11. And Memphis had 8 minutes. Tyler, very sad, has to go look at pictures of Angela after the
oh my god,
after the veto competition because he's so upset. Christmas is going to make another play to Enzo, Sasha. She plays straight up. Tyler, he doesn't.
I also want to say one thing before that, but where was this energy that people had for David taking the 10,000, but you don't have the energy for Tyler for, you know, basically what Brent said, right? Quitting in 10 minutes. Where is that energy? I need that, because for all the people talking about David, David didn't go home.
Well, let me ask one other question. So Nicole came out in the backyard. She's like, and I'm in the backyard and there's all these treats like hot dogs and popcorn and candy. Like, was that, could you have gone and eaten food instead of doing the puzzle? Is that possible? Is that what Tyler Wendt did?
Yeah, but number one, she's a have not. Number two, it didn't look real to me. Was it plastic? The cupcake looked plastic to me. I think that was fake food. Yeah. It was just fake. Yeah.
Just checking. Okay. We get a segment about some of the other geniuses in this house, about Cody, that he's also been getting the dodo edit this season.
Really?
Cody, yeah. Cody has a question that he turns to Enzo to ask.
Where does the term in-law, like sister-in-law, come from?
Yeah, Brent, have you ever thought about that question?
No. That is so dumb. Like, what are you asking? Yeah. Like, it's in law because you, like, legally, as in through the law, are related to them now by marrying them.
You ever wonder why do they call it a tow truck? It's not on your foot.
Why does nothing rhyme with orange? Like, life's questions right here. Yeah.
Why do they call it a pancake, Bobby?
Yeah, exactly. A rainbow.
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense to be watching him with all these questions. Like, they're really going hard on the dodo edit for him.
Yeah.
If he wins, like, what's this going to say?
Yeah. He also is
pretty.
Then, and him and Enzo are fooling around, but even in like horsing around, that Cody is still making lots of mistakes.
You could loiter money through that.
You could launder money.
Loiter.
You could loiter some money. friends.
Loiter some money, yes. You can get fined for that, I hear.
Someday.
One is a felony, one is a misdemeanor. Make sure you know which.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Got it, Christmas. Okay. All right.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
All right.
Be careful, please.
Yes. Please be careful. It's actually the button to that scene was Nicole has to be. Guys, you know, it's an in-law, like you're married, like through the law, like some the circle has been completed for Nicole Franzel of that. She went from in Big Brother 16, she was like the dumb that people had to explain stuff to. Now here right. She is. She's explaining stuff to the people in the house.
And she's getting married. Duh. Like, she knows everything about this, of course, because you get married and she has to talk about that some more. So that's exactly, it actually makes sense why it was Nicole, because that's what she's talking about.
Yeah, Rob, the chat is saying that instead of an alligator, they should have had a Texan.
If Cody would have had his picture taken with that animal.
Should have had. Cody would have liked that.
That would have been so good.
That famous animal, Texan.
Yes, one of the great animals, the Texan. Okay.
Oh, my God.
So then we're going to see Tyler come and talk to Cody. And he's trying to make a pitch to Cody of, hey, you should, use the veto on me, Bobby. Tyler says, because you don't want me to get voted out.
And I get where he's coming from. He made some points that I think that were basically the only thing he could go with, which is, you know, Memphis is never going to take you. You know, Christmas is never going to take you. I want to take you. I've had this, you know, relationship with you from the beginning. The thing is, this might be just a little too late. Like he already threw Cody under the bus by talking to Enzo and telling him what the story was with their alliance. And now, Enzo went and told Cody about it. So now he's basically dead to him. You know, it's really unfortunate to watch because he would have had a chance with this argument had he not messed up in that one area. And I think that's where he really has thrown his game under the bus, and we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah, Tyler can't convince Cody, and Brent, I thought Taryn was making a very good point about just a lack of passion on the Tyler, you know, he's famous for being for Angela, all he has is schmoopy talk. Cody could have used some schmoopy talk.
He really could have. I think that really would have helped, not only in this conversation, but other conversations that are going to take place later in the week after the veto ceremony.
Like it, you should save me, dude.
Yeah. Like, that's not going to do it. It's just not. Cody is the kind of player that plays from a place of loyalty. Relationships matter to him. It's all about the social game and how you're feeling about something. It's not about like, oh, this is a good move strategically for you and you need to do that. I mean, yes, he has elements of that to him, but his core, his base, where he, you know, builds his game from, it's all about how he feels about somebody and does he trust them. That's what him and Derek have. That's what him and Enzo have. And that's what he thought he had with Tyler up until Tyler betrayed him during the triple eviction and tried to get Nicole voted off. So, and then combine that with the fact that he tried to sell Cody out by telling Enzo about the committee and making Cody look bad as saying that Cody was trying to get Enzo nominated. Like, that's very difficult damage to undo when that's all taken place over the past, what was then 72 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and Derek's really got it into Cody's head that that's how you play this game. It's all loyalty and nothing else. And as soon as someone portrays that, there's no chance for them in the game with Cody.
Yeah. This is interesting, though. Cody tells us that, you know, if he screws this up, you know, he could never live this down.
If I make the wrong move and it costs me being in the finals, like, I don't know if I'll be able to live that down.
Brent, it's a good point. Could you imagine if we associated Cody with making a huge bonehead decision? Could you imagine that? Cody Calafiore, the guy who makes terrible decisions at the end of the game. He would never live that down.
He would never live that down.
If he became that guy.
Yeah.
Not Cody. No way.
Yeah. That would be by far the worst.
His good name would be sullied as being a person who makes terrible endgame decisions.
Well, let it be known that if they continue on their current course and they decide that they're going to evict Tyler, that there are scenarios where he could end up on the block and out of the house. So, like, that's what he and the rest of the little crew there, Enzo and Nicole, are working through in terms of, you know, who do they keep this week and why do they keep them, and, you know, what are their pros and cons? And it's definitely been something that's been in. Yeah. Right. It's definitely something that's been in flux as the week has gone on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we are going to get Cody's trying to figure it out. He's going to not use the power of veto.
And shocker.
Yeah. We get Tyler tells us, you know, hold tight. There's still hope.
Honestly, if I was these people, I would definitely vote me out.
I mean, Sasha, that is true that Tyler would vote himself out if he could.
He tried. He tried. Danny knows. Everyone knows. You lied.
If he could, he would definitely pull the trigger on that. And then, really, just in case Christmas goes home, we got to get one more. One more round of voiceover from Mr. Announcer Man.
'Twas the night before eviction, and this is no lie. Someone's game is over, either Christmas or tie.
Like, Rob, they've officially lost their minds. Like, this guy and Julie Chen doing the... Yeah.
This is who writes Julie Chen's endings. This is it. It's him.
And since when did they ever call him Ty? Like, I've never heard anyone ever call him Ty.
I was like, how are they going to make that rhyme? And then he said Ty. And I'm like, oh. Okay.
Production does. Yeah. What do you mean? That's their code name, love name for him.
Right. I think they're already looking onto Big Brother 23 at this point.
Okay. Let's take some questions about all of this from the listeners, and then we'll talk about live feeds and any other thoughts going into the eviction tomorrow night. Faizan says, is it impossible to have a Cody and Memphis final two?
No, I don't think so.
You don't
so
think it's impossible? Is possible or it is not possible?
I think that it is possible to have a Cody Memphis final two. If Christmas goes next week, like let's say Tyler goes this week, Christmas goes next week. I don't know. Like Enzo gets evicted at the final four. I don't think that. I mean, Cody would definitely take Nicole to the end, but Memphis, I think, would probably take Cody to the end. Okay. At that point, not take the winner with him to the final four.
Yeah.
To the final two, I mean.
It's definitely not likely, but it's possible.
It's possible, but not likely. Yeah, I agree.
All right. Lauren says, Christmas went on and on that her veto speech was going to be great TV. Do you feel cheated or spared that they didn't show us? Brent, do we know anything about the veto speeches? We didn't see either one.
See, like, this week was such a bore.
Was it a poem? Is she going to do another poem tomorrow?
No, it was a birthday wish to Loyal. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, gosh. I honestly couldn't tell you.
Oh, like, hold on. Sasha, we're getting new Christmas on the block during a live show for its son's birthday.
Exactly. Oh, how dare you?
Not even how dare you, that's like going to be like, all right, this is the whole speech is going to be a shout out to her 1-year-old.
Should talk about what happened with Loyal in her belly too. Then.
And not only that, the worst part, Rob, is that she knows. Well, I don't want to say anything. Moving on.
Okay. All right. Noah says, "Why did production think that deviled eggs are part of a baseball game food?
Right? Who has that? Like, you have that at a picnic or a church potluck. You don't have it at a baseball game."
They've never been to any sporting event. Maybe golf, but I don't even think it's it.
Never.
Even in quarantine, too. So yeah. Maybe they're just, you know, forgetting what a baseball game's like at this point.
Mm-hmm. Valid.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
good
been
point.
Too long. We all haven't been to baseball games in a long time. Let's be honest.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, when I go there, I'm not having a deviled egg.
No. I don't think I'd never eat one in general. So.
Okay. Ryan says, it's looking like Cody is going to be in those final two chairs on finale night. But do we know who he wants to take, Nicole or Enzo? Does it even matter? Sasha, do we have any idea of who Cody's preferred final two partner is?
I want to say Enzo.
I'd agree
right?
with that.
Yeah, I feel like it's Enzo, Nicole, and then maybe Memphis. Like, I made that note this week when I was listening to the live feeds. But yeah, I think it's Enzo, Nicole, Memphis.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
His order.
Yep.
Okay.
It's close though between
Nicole.
Nicole and Enzo.
Yeah.
Okay. We think that he would pick Enzo, but he could pick Nicole. You never know.
Elise wants to know why did production feel like that we needed to suffer through that dumb rhyme on top of the other suffering that we've been doing all season two? What's up with banana messages during the credit scene? Love y'all. Were there banana messages during?
See, but when the credits start to roll, I start getting dressed for the show tonight.
What is a banana message?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Maybe they spelled something out and they showed it. Like sometimes the house guests will do that.
Is that like when you take like a needle and then you write somebody's name on a banana and then you like wait 2 days for the banana to start to like turn brown or black and then you can see that person's name and then they think a ghost is there in the house?
It was the stuff that Tyler wrote on the banana for like go vote or whatever.
Vote out Tyler on Thursday.
It was either for the presidential or hey, help me with America's vote.
Go vote.
Yeah, he doesn't know what's going on.
He doesn't know. Okay. All right. Let's see. Another question is from Sheldon. Do you think that the new Nicole is a result of Danny leaving? Danny certainly played on her insecurities. For me, the only satisfying outcome is Nicole winning. Well, I said it the other night. What do you think, Brent? Is Danny the best friend for Nicole that is like keeping her down?
Maybe, because I like the new Nicole. I like her a lot better than I did before when she was just hanging out with Danny most of the time and, you know, slamming on people left and right and whining about people. Like, I much prefer this Nicole. She feels, again, it's because of that and the fact that she was on the block twice during the triple eviction. They took a shot at her, they missed, and she feels totally liberated by it. She's like, I don't have to be nice to these people now. I don't need to fake it with these people now. They tried to vote me out. Now I can let them have it.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's that because I don't believe that any of these three women were looking out for each other, like Christmas, Nicole, and Danny, right? Like, they are definitely those women that are like, that think their leash will be longer if they bark for the patriarchy loud enough. But I really don't think that it was Danny preying on her either. I do think Danny's going to be the one in the jury, like, pushing for Nicole. So I don't think it's that. I think it's what Brent said, the second part, at least.
Okay. See what Scott has here for us to look at. Is Cody really as dumb as he acts? He was really fast at that comp tonight. The in-law convo? Yeah.
I mean,
Cody does not know facts that he knows.
That's the thing.
That he's. I don't think he's like a dumb person, but he does not know information. He is not book smart.
Yeah, he is a good critical thinker. He is a good strategic person at times. But facts-wise, he's just like, it's like he's probably like, I don't know, like modeling.
It's almost like he had something, other skill set to fall back on. Did not have to open a lot of books.
Just don't have him on your trivia. Yeah, just don't have him on your trivia team. That's all.
Could you imagine?
He just did sports. He didn't do anything else like that.
Right.
None of that. He only get by beauty and by his brawn. That's it.
You don't need in-laws in soccer, remember. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Now put on the brain stripe from Survivor. That would be great. That would be the best part.
Okay. Anything else you want to talk about before we go into some spoilers? Okay. All right. So we'll be back in 24 hours' time. If you're leaving us now to talk about the eviction of either Tyler or Christmas for everybody else, hang on. We're talking spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Check the banana for a secret message. That's the new girl yelling. We wrote the message on the fruit at Trader Joe's.
if only.
Yes.
Or all the Fruit Loops that Christmas was sorting, like a serial killer, like just literally sitting there.
Hey, that's why she's a serial killer.
What?
No.
What I was going to say, and I caught myself earlier, was that it's going to be even more terrible to listen to Christmas on Eviction Night because she knows she's staying now. Mm-hmm. As of this moment,
we're getting
Tyler
a poem.
Is, you're getting a poem. She's going to be totally confident. In fact, it's annoying the shit out of the house guests because they can't stand it. They want to evict her so bad, but they're like, oh, she's so lucky she's on the block next to Tyler because we'd vote her off in a heartbeat. But they can't do it because they want to get rid of Tyler. They have thought it through. Tyler's made a couple runs, said a couple things and a couple people. He just hasn't been able to put together that emotional argument that is connected with Cody. It has not been able to connect enough with Cody, and he has not been able to move the needle from where it has been at the end of the veto ceremony, which was Tyler currently being evicted.
Yeah.
Boy. Well, let me ask you this. What's the over-under on the amount of time that Christmas has her speech for the eviction speech, how long her poem is? Like, do we think it goes a minute and a half?
This is going to be a real great matchup that you're going to have Christmas's poem, and Tyler's got to plug Angela's cookbook for the last time. So it's really good.
On which lasts longer.
Yeah, and it's going to be even worse, too, for us on the Tyler front as well, because they are planning on telling him on Thursday that that he's going home. Like, they're not going to, like, blindside him. They're going to tell him, so he's going to know it's done, it's over, I'm out of the house. So I might as well plug Angela's book, which we're going to have to put up with.
Does Angela have a recipe for vegan deviled eggs?
She has a recipe for spoiled brats. That is vegan brats. But I think some people pronounce them brats, but you know, anyway.
That's good for tailgating. When you pregame.
Yeah, that's so. Yeah. The
okay.
Pre-game.
All right. Sasha, anything else we should be looking out for tomorrow night? Because we're also going to potentially have an HOH competition.
That's what I was, talking about, where I want to know who's going to win or who's gunning for it. Are y'all still surprised that it's final five or it will be final five and there's still, like, Enzo, I think I'll give a little bit of a, like, okay with that maybe he throws it, but a lot of them are like, it's not time yet. Time for, well, then when will it be? When you're final two, like when is it? So it's frustrating,
right? So just to go back to what I was talking to you about before, they have thought it through. Just to be clear, Memphis is evicting Tyler, period. End of story. So that vote Tyler knew was locked. He did try to make a run at Cody, Enzo, and to Nicole to a lesser extent, but specifically Cody, because he knows that Cody controls the purse strings there, and he tried to get him to see, look, Memphis and Christmas, they are together. They will not put each other on the block. Memphis is lying to you, man. Like, he will not risk Christmas going home. It's going to be you and Nicole or you and Enzo up on the block. Trust me on this. But he wasn't able to do it in a way that really connected with Cody. Also, he wasn't able to own his shit. He needed to own his stuff a little bit with Cody and say, look, I understood why you put me on the block. I know I did that. I made a play. It was wrong. You guys have taken care of me. I love you guys. I want to push you guys forward, but he just never was able to get the emotional argument together, Bobby, that he needed to get. And he definitely spooked Cody at times because Cody kept thinking like Tyler made the argument that Memphis wants to take out Tyler right now because he wants to grease the path for him going forward by taking out the stronger players and leaving the weaker players in. Well, if you take out Tyler, who's the next strongest player in the house? Obviously Cody. So that definitely spooked Cody, and he was definitely started thinking about it. But the problem is he can't trust Tyler. He can't trust Tyler because of what he did by exposing the committee and making Cody look like the bad guy to Enzo in an attempt to get Enzo back on his side. So that's why Tyler's currently going home right now, and I don't see that changing before tomorrow.
If he wouldn't have exposed them, he wouldn't be in this position. They would probably have been locked in on Christmas at this point going home. Like, it just all comes back to Tyler playing, you know, too hard before the veto competition when stuff was still kind of up in the air. And now everyone's locked into that mindset. He did make a great pitch to Cody because I think Cody does have to worry about that. If going forward in this next HOH competition, if let's say a Memphis maybe, or really a Christmas wins his HOH, he's in some real trouble. He took out the biggest competition next to him. And I know Christmas wouldn't be going after Tyler in that situation. Well, obviously she'd be gone. But what I'm saying is, he's the biggest competition threat, period. He doesn't play in this HOH. If Christmas wins, Cody's in some real trouble. So I get where Tyler came from.
Yeah, and the other thing to keep in mind, too, is who is actually going to go for the HOH. I feel like there's maybe some people in the house who, as Sasha noted, do not have any interest in winning HOH, or at least not going full out for it. Mm-hmm. Enzo has talked over and over about the fact that if he gets HOH, he does not want to put Memphis on the block. He wants to put Nicole and Christmas on the block so that it doesn't expose his cards with Memphis. But Cody's like, look, dude, you have to put Memphis on the block, because if you leave Memphis off the block and Memphis wins the veto at the final five, he can pull Christmas off the block and force me onto the block, because I'm the only eligible house guest to be nominated at that point. Enzo doesn't want to show his cards, so I don't see him going for this HOH. He knows he's safe no matter what. No matter what happens at the final five, Enzo is safe.
Let me ask about this, because I feel like that all week we've heard the counter argument of this is what happens if you vote Tyler out and then Christmas is there. And we've talked through all the scenarios. But in the scenario where they vote out Christmas, Sasha, do we have any idea what it looks like if Tyler stays and what his HOH looks like? How does that change the trajectory of the season?
I think Tyler still nominates Memphis
and at Nicole. Least.
And Nicole, yeah. I think Nicole, he already nominated her. We know this season they love to be safe. So, that's the baseball reference. Safe.
Yes, okay. Safe. Sure.
Anyway, so yeah, I think for sure he's nominating Nicole and I think Memphis, but I don't know. I'm not sure on his.
And then he can't play. So it seems like that, Brent, that if Tyler stays, the danger is then if he doesn't get HOH and wins it in the final four.
Yeah.
Yes, that and the fact that Nicole has made an effort to, because she wants Tyler out, she has made an effort to really spook everybody and be like, look, like, can you imagine Tyler in those final two chairs? Like, I can. Like, if we don't get him out now, he begged to go home right before jury started. We didn't do it. He survived the block against Ian. We didn't do it. If he survives this one again, like, Ian told me he's voting for Tyler if he gets to the end. That's what she's telling them. So she's trying to spook them as much as possible. Look, that if you don't get Tyler right now, this is the third time, he'll sit in one of those final two chairs and he'll beat us all.
You know what? In fairness to Nicole, that I have to say that if I was in that house, I think I would probably be thinking the same thing. Because don't forget, this is Big Brother. And sometimes the bounce of the ball goes to the way that production, they do have their favorites. And we've seen this happen before. And I think that Nicole, who is very familiar with production, I think she does think about every single angle, thinks, well, there's no way they're going to try to get Christmas the win here. But I could definitely see a scenario where that, like, something goes Tyler's way coming down the stretch. And she's like, no, I should be that person that gets the break, not Tyler. Get him out of here.
Yeah, and she even said as much. I mean, not exactly that. In her little chat with America when she was talking to the cameras, like, you know, hey, like, you guys think I don't play hard? I play hard, man. I want the win. I don't care how I get it done. I just want an outcome. That's all I want.
Do you think that will work with jury? So, because I have mixed feelings on that talk, because I think it was necessary.
Yeah, if she's next to Cody, no. If she's next to anyone else, I think she's got a shot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Brent, did you hear this on Monday night, what Nicole said about Tyler?
So boring.
Ah! Wow. Tyler's so boring.
No, she's
said.
Not talking.
Tyler. Like, Tyler's going to come out of the house and hear that Nicole said that and said, Nicole, you just had to be nice, man. Like, what are you doing? That is
words to be haunted by.
Uncalled for.
Okay. All right. I've got another question to go back to. And let's see. This is from Elizabeth. How is Tyler going to convince them to keep him? Well, I think he's got nothing left.
I told you how he's going to do it. He needs to have some emotion. He needs to connect with Cody on a spiritual, like, loyal level and say, look, like, Christmas and Memphis are a pair. Like, she named her kid Loyal. She is not going to betray him. Memphis is playing you, dude. He's telling you what you want to hear. I will say this. I want to give credit to Memphis because he has said what he needed to say all week long. He has told them that if he wins HOH, he's willing to put Nicole and Christmas up on the block. Now, he told Enzo privately that if he wins the veto, or if Christmas wins the veto, obviously she's going to come down. But if I win the veto, I might have to take her off and put Cody up, because I want to make sure Christmas stays. Enzo tellingly did not reveal that to Cody. One of the few things that he has not revealed to Cody. So Enzo playing very selfishly for himself, which I like to see. And Memphis also, like I said, doing a very good job of making sure that the vote stays the way the vote is this week and Christmas stays, because that's important to him. So good play on both their parts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sasha, anything else you want to touch on before we get into eviction night?
No, I think, yeah, we talked about it a lot. Like these, all these different chess pieces that I think, unfortunately, are going to fall.
Yeah.
Exactly how we think they will.
Brent, do you think we'll see the jury house tomorrow night?
Please.
Yeah, I'd hope so. I wonder what that's like, because they came out of the quote unquote Big Brother bubble when they, you know, exited the house. And then, so like, are they all in the same place? Are they all in a Zoom call? Like what? What is yeah. up with the jury house yeah. at this point? Let's, I have no idea.
So the jury started with Davon, or started with Ian, right? It was Ian, mm-hmm. Ian yeah. Davon, and then Kevin, David, yep. and Danny.
Yeah,
Bobby, I'd like to know what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, do we all know? Like, I seriously am not sure what's going yeah. on with that.
Sasha, two questions. We want to know, how does Ian feel about being evicted? Like, how is he bitter or is he not bitter? How does Davon feel? Is she bitter or not bitter? Like, those, I want to know what those two exactly. people think, because they were the ones who got had really hard. And I want to know how they're feeling, because if they're really bitter, then I feel like the jury's going to be bitter. If they're not, if they're, you know, talking about who played the best game, then I feel like it's going to be a pretty cool vote at the end.
Yeah, right. And a lot of people were talking about Danny can sway Davon, but I don't think that's necessarily true, because I think now Davon doesn't believe anything these people say after what happened with David and the Nicole vote for Ian. And I think Ian maybe will come around. I can see it, but I don't know about Day. It just really depends on who else is coming through the door.
Mm-hmm.
Doors, Zoom call, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Bobby, anything else that you want to say?
Yeah, no, I think that's going to be an interesting HOH coming up. I think this is going to be one of the most interesting ones we've had yet, because if Christmas gets in power, it's really going to be who's throwing who under the bus. And I think that's going to be the determining factor towards the end game of what really seals the deals for someone's fate and who really gets that final push towards the end. So I think an HOH by Christmas would be huge for the season as a whole. And then if it's, you know, a Nicole or an Enzo, we might just be seeing, you know, the same revolving door. So we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, the worst thing that could happen, which means it'll probably happen considering this is BB22, is Enzo or Nicole wins HOH. Yeah. That would be terrible. The most interesting HOH yes. would be Memphis, because he would be in the mm-hmm. position to do a lot of interesting things. On the other hand, Christmas winning HOH would be really delicious, because she would put Cody and Nicole up on the block, and the only way they could all save themselves is by Enzo winning the veto and forcing Memphis up on the block.
I'm so happy, because I care about none of these people, so everyone leaving, I'm like, yes, yeah. who's next?
Hey, look, yeah, exactly. Take it from Rob. Root for people to fail.
This is where we're at right now. This is exciting. You know,
yeah.
But I'm finally happy, I feel like, watching Big this season.
This is what we've been waiting for.
And I will say this, what if we get no jury house this year because of the fact that there's going to be no one there to maybe videotape them? Maybe it's too dangerous with COVID. They've been very particular about it. Is there a chance we get no jury house all season?
Well, I think that they are running out of stuff to show us on the TV show, because we're going to be down to 5 people after this week. I believe the finale is 3 weeks from tonight.
Wow, they're really dragging this out so they could have that triple eviction.
Yeah, that triple eviction in hindsight. You know, double eviction probably would have been just fine. And we are down to 5 people. We still have 3 episodes this week, 4 episodes the week after, where we're going to have recap of the recap coming up on Friday night, the 23rd.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And then I'm not sure if we have a Sunday, if we'll have a Monday night and then the finale, but there's still a lot of Big Brother left to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, not a lot of game.
Not a lot of game.
Showing the triple eviction until then.
Like, just to keep in mind, like, we have 3 weeks, okay? Like, normally, like, we do this stuff in, like, a week, like, a week and a half, because, like, the final 5 is always sped up. That's where, like, mm-hmm. Julie, like, surprises the house guests, you know? And then, like, from final five to final 4, final 4 to final 3 happens in, like, a day.
Yeah.
It happens like over in a day and a half, where like they have an HOH, then the next day they have a veto, then the next day is an eviction. But we're like, this year it's just drug out. Oh my gosh.
Brett, do you think it's possible that we could get a reset week a la BB16?
Oh, I hope not. Like if you're not going to do the buyback, don't do the reset.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrible.
I know. It's
like also they would know not to fall for it. But on the other hand, the person evicted is definitely going to press the reset button. So
it would be
if there was a reset button this week, I guarantee you Tyler would be pressing it. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
he'll be like so.
Yeah, watch. We'll see that reset button tomorrow night, right before the show starts.
Just for Tyler. All right.
Yeah, we'll see. Oh, imagine that.
Yeah.
Brent, how mad will you be? Brent, Tyler's going home tomorrow night. Wait, what's that? No, oh, what? Reset week? What?
What? Oh, my God. Yeah. I'd be mad, but I'd be livid. I'd be livid. Let's be real. But I still think he has a very tough road.
See,
to hoe.
I told you they were going to do this.
Yeah,
I'll be tuning in tomorrow if that happens to watch you guys.
That'd be wild.
You heard it here first, folks. Okay,
let's talk about what else is going on robhasawebsite.com. 90 Day Fiance. Oh wait, what's this? Puya and Liana are going to be talking about Happily Ever After. 90 Day Fiance. Check out Puya and Liana over on the 90 Day Fiance Rehab Up. Then The Amazing Race is back 1 week from tonight. And we had a preseason draft. Jessica Leese, Mike Bloom, Dan Heaton, and myself. We went through all 11 teams. We drafted teams of Amazing Race. So Sasha, are you a big Amazing Race fan?
Oh my God, yes. I want to be on the show. I'm ready. Two Indians from Fremont. Are you kidding me? It's a wrap. Jessica, I know, drafted them.
Yes, and brother and sister.
Here we go.
Yes.
That's who I'm pulling for. Representation. We love it.
Yeah. Great cast for Amazing Race 32. We are going to be back with not one, but two Amazing Race podcasts a week, starting next week, where Amazing Race is going to be on after Big Brother. So check out our preseason draft. Then over on the Purple Pants podcast, Bryce has another great one. He has our old friend Caitlin Herman. Mon is joining Bryce again this week. He'll give out the Freak of the Week and more on the Purple Pants podcast with Bryce Isaiah. Check that out every Tuesday on robinswebsite.com. On News AF, we talked about Subway bread. Is it bread? Or is it something else? Check that out over with Danny and Tyson. Plus, we talked about some of the hot new costumes for 2020 Halloween. Check that out on the latest News AF. Then, LFC Roundtable. We've got Taryn, Brent, and Melissa talking about everything that's going on, all the scenarios, updating the Stockwatch. Check out what your portfolio is doing. What else from last night on the LC Roundtable, Brent?
It was pretty tame. Like I think that it's just like like Sasha said, like it's a point in time where like I think neither me or Melissa really like cares about these people.
Yeah.
There's nobody left that we care about. So like we were not ranting. We were just like talking through the scenarios. Taryn was having a blast
because
it was all the fun stuff that he loves about the positioning and the strategy and like all that. And
do you want to guess some of the hot 2020 Halloween costumes?
Oh wow!
Among Us,
Halloween
right?
Costumes?
No, wow! I know, but we didn't talk about that.
You go as one of the Among Us people.
Yeah, because it's the best. Because you get, you actually can have a whole hazmat suit on. It's COVID proof.
Is the
right
costume
now,
though
welcome.
Safe?
Yeah,
of course. Well,
I don't think it's a real hazmat suit.
No, you can make a real hazmat
Real those are hard to come by.
The Among Us.
Yes, yes.
I'm playing that game after the podcast, so it's a lot of fun.
There you go. All right. Your Halloween costume.
Yeah, we talked about the sexy mail-in ballot, which is one of the big 2020 costumes.
That's great. Right. I like it.
Check out Taryn tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern time to get the update. Maybe Tyler will save himself tonight. If he does, you'll hear it from Taryn, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. And then We'll get to see what's going on tomorrow night. It'll be a fun one on Thursday when Taryn, Frail Mary, and Josh Williams join us for the recap of our live show, Tyler versus Christmas. Maybe we'll have to do a Tyler eulogy on Thursday night. Be on the lookout for that. And then we'll have our exit interview questions coming up on Friday. We'll also have the slop on Friday. We're excited for that. Taryn is going to join me for the slop on Friday afternoon. Be on the lookout for that. Should be a fun one. And then, of course, all this podcasting is made possible by the power of our amazing patrons. Check out robisawebsite.com/patron for everything we're doing in our Patreon community. We're on Facebook, our Discord server, patron-only podcast feed. We did patron trivia night last night. Had a lot of fun with Zach Brooks being back. And then tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern, I'll get your eviction night started. Jason Reed will join me when we will take your phone calls live 7 p.m. Eastern for the patron-only Big Brother Eviction Night pregame show. We'll send out the link later on tonight for the Patrons of Robin's Podcast if you want to call in and talk with us about Eviction Night and your HOH wishes and dreams that you want to manifest. Of course, follow us on social media. Rob is a podcast on Twitter, R-H-A-P Grams on the Instagram, and then Rob is a podcast Facebook page as well. Try to share a bunch of clips and highlights from the shows if you miss them. Of course, then we are less than 1 month away from Election Day. Is it too late to register to vote in your state? I don't know. What state do you live in? Find it at vote.gov. If you can, make a plan to figure out your action. Don't be like one of these, Big Brother players who realize like, oh, I should have made a plan earlier and then I didn't and now I can't. Okay.
Yes, Sasha. Make sure you vote up and down your ballot, not just for the shiny elections. Like, it's really important that you make sure your local props, please vote for those, get educated on them. I know it's hard.
That's hard. That is hard. The First Lady of Podcasting and I, we got our mail-in ballot. And we have them. They're over the mantle right now. Mm-hmm. We're going to take them down and then we're going to sit and we got to figure out what we're doing on all the ballot initiatives.
Yeah. Get on some Zooms, get with some friends, and each person can take a different prop, do anything, but make sure you're safe and in your mind and your body as if you choose to vote in person. But please vote not just again for the shiny one, but for all of it.
Okay, because you are an American citizen and that's your duty, okay? Yes. And Bobby, is a banana a mail-in ballot?
To Tyler, it is.
If you vote on a banana.
I think come eviction night, he's just going to turn that into Julie and be like, I'm actually, it's 2-2, so here you go. This is me staying in the house.
Okay, all right. Vote.gov for more information there, okay? All right, then... fun podcast tonight. They're not giving us a lot to do on the episode, but we're having a lot of fun breaking it down.
Absolutely. That's what I've been hearing. Rob, we do really great stuff here. I mean, I'm not going to talk about me. I'm going to talk about all you guys thank you. Because I hear so many people that are like, I have had such a rough time this season, but thank God for those of you over at Rob as a Podcast, because you've definitely been getting me through and showing us a good time. And a lot of people have had more time listening to the podcast than they have the actual show.
Many times.
Well, I appreciate that, Brent. Thank you so much. And to everybody out there who is might be thinking that. And look, when things are going great, we're your friends that you want to talk about things with. And when things are not going so great, we're your friends to commiserate with. So either way, hope you're enjoying the coverage on the podcast. Okay, Bobby, where can people keep up with everything that you're doing?
Yeah, you can find me at Goodspeed Bobby on Twitter. Also, one thing about the show is it's number one in the young adult demographic. So it's still doing really well, which is what CBS cares about. It doesn't matter how much we hate the season. It's still doing number one in that demographic, and that's what they care about.
Good. So, and I think that also speaks. Yeah, I think that also speaks to that. I feel like that we may get another Big Brother in January, February. I think we could see another one slip in here.
Please. celebrity. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, because these celebrities have nothing to do also.
Yeah,
and the celebrities, both celebrity seasons have been great. They so really fun. They played hard. Yeah. I went back and watched, like, there's a little, retrospective on, like, Tamar Braxton from Big Brother Celebrity 2. And, oh my gosh, it was so much fun. I forgot how crazy she was in that season.
And her and Candy.
And how hard they played, like, trying to get Jonathan out right away. Yay. Like, that would never happen. That would be like getting Cody Calafiori right away.
As if.
And yes, I Bobby. Do want to say one more thing also. Like I said, at Gets Me Bobby. And also, I'm doing articles for Programming Insider for Big Brother this season and for the future. So if you want to go on there, check it out. I do Vegas odds for Big Brother all season long. And
who's
also
got
my
the
buddy
top odds? Cody?
I'm sorry?
Who's got the top odds right now?
Oh, Cody. It was Tyler for the longest time. And now I think I've moved Cody to like 5-1 odds to win it all. So I'm really high on Cody this final stretch. And lastly, my buddy and I are doing a Twitch stream. We're starting it up. I'll have more details on my Twitter coming up in about a week or so, where we talk daily fantasy sports about DraftKings.
Whoa. Google,
all of that. We're big, big DFS players that went all in this year. So
how are you doing?
Knock on wood. I've won a couple of big contests. I've won about $15,000. So I'm doing
Bobby.
Good so far, but I want to keep.
Wow. Well, that was the wrong thing to say. Brent is going to want to vote you off the podcast, like David. You took the fifteen grand.
Had I just done, instead of a $3 bet, a $10 bet, I would have won $150,000. So I'm kind of bitter about that, but $30,000.
Wow.
It's a whole thing. Sorry, I don't mean to be precocious, but it bugs me still.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it was. Wow. Yeah.
It had the lineup.
Bobby, we're blown away.
I'll have more details on my Twitter about my DFS Twitch stream that you guys can check out. And if you have any questions, ask me.
Okay. At Goodsby Bobby. And then Sasha, it is so fun when you are back with us.
Thanks again. I'm so happy to be here. Just, you know, talking about it. People in my real life are like, what is this episode? So I'm really excited to just have people that I've been listening to for so long.
Yes.
Just here.
Okay. Sasha, I know you are fun size _
yes.
04. Yes.
Yeah.
So what can we see if we go to funsize_04?
OU Texas is this weekend, even though we suck so hard, whatever. I tweet a lot about college football, especially OU. And now that Amazing Race is back, my number one show, obviously that. So I talk about a lot of reality TV. I like Sequester as well. So a little bit of everything. And of course, voting and social justice.
Yes. Okay. You'll come on and talk some Amazing Race with us too?
Please. Okay. Oh my God. Yes.
All right. Sounds good, Sasha. And Brent, how about you?
Yes. Well, I was just going to ask Sasha, when you auditioned for the class of 2020, so did you go out for Big Brother? Or did you go out for like Amazing Race because you love that show so much?
I think I went out for the challenge. I think that was
the challenge.
Game.
Okay,
it's all a blur
here.
Yeah.
No, I was really, because I was like, okay, how do I get my odds a little higher? I feel like everyone is going to
smart.
I like it.
These famous shows, which obviously I watch, but I was like, no, the challenge. I've been watching it forever.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they have so much overlap with Big Brother now that I was like, yes, that's going to be what I do.
Brett, you know, we saw like 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I actually interviewed 100 people, but how many applicants?
We had over 600 applicants.
Yeah, wow. 600 applicants. That was like off the
that's
charts.
Insane.
I was so was like,
and there's people that we haven't gotten to yet. We said, you know what?
No
like there's some people that still want to talk about Survivor, and it's like, all right, let's wait until we're closer to a Survivor.
I know. Once Love and Hip Hop comes back, y'all gotta give me the podcast. Cause that's where I
Love and Hip Hop.
Yes, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. I'm telling you, that's the place.
Sasha, could I be the co-host? Because I'm running out of things to podcast about.
I'm telling you, it's the best show you'll watch. Period. I don't care what anyone else says.
Yeah,
it's wild.
I can believe it. By the way, you can find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out O-N-E. And podcasting about Big Brother. Happy to be here.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Fun stuff tonight. We'll be back with our eviction show on Thursday night. Be on the lookout for that. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.